Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I'll let you try my Wu-Tang style.
Caroline, Willie, D-Base, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studio. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. And joining us now is TD, Teron Davenport. TD,
we're talking Mets with TD. Oh, sorry. We got a little excited. We were texting each other last night. The Mets got on the Sunday Night Baseball, 5 wins in a row, showing signs of life.
Between you and TD and Jared and Chase, we've got a nice little Braves-Mets rivalry going on in the station.
Oh, big time.
Yeah, we got to get your Cardinals in there, see?
They're showing signs of
life. They're showing signs of life.
We are back, baby. I'm going to be insufferable for the next couple of months. So everyone, buckle up for the ride.
We need to start a baseball podcast. Just, you know, we don't have to bring it to everybody here if that's not your cup of tea. But we got a good little rivalry going here.
It is fun.
Yeah.
Fun little MLB
Absolutely.
Rivalry going on here. TD, always appreciate starting our week with you. Some brand new, fresh breaking news coming out from Ian Rappaport that the NFL just passed a bylaw that will allow a third quarterback to be active without burning a roster spot. Sounds like great, great, great news for Malik Willis.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's crazy, Caroline, because we just talked about this on Friday when we killed the 2 to 6 hour. You know how, but yeah, I mean it's great news for a guy like Malik Willis because here it is. There was a possibility that he was going to be cut. You know what I mean? So now. It's still a competition, but we know that carrying that third quarterback was going to be a tough thing to consider given the other things that they had to do on the roster. And obviously they weren't going to not have Will Levis on the roster. So Willis was in jeopardy. And now I'm not going to say he's not still in jeopardy, but it definitely makes it a lot easier for a guy like him to make the roster.
And on a more macro perspective, I think this makes the NFL product so much better. Because I do think the 49ers' quarterback situation this past year, that's more so the exception and not the rule. Very, very rarely do you see a team go through 3 quarterbacks in a season. But it made that Philadelphia-San Francisco NFC Championship game so much less interesting because he had a running back in at quarterback. So I think this makes the product overall just better.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, I'm not going to call the guy a running back all the way. But, I mean, you're right. It definitely was a drop-off in play. And I think when you look at it, it's something that I know at the owners' meetings in March, you know, they were thinking about this, and to see it actually go to fruition, I think is a great thing for just everything that you know, we talked about with a third guy who's just on the brink, and it definitely increases the quality of the game. I'll agree with you there. Absolutely.
And the development. I mean, wow. Malik Willis somewhere, and probably every third quarterback is going to be having a party tonight. I mean, you got to celebrate this. This is enormous news. And they never should have gone away from this rule to start with. I mean, that was a bad idea. But I'm really curious now, Teron, in the next 3 to 5 years, if we have some fun stories develop of quarterbacks that stayed in the fray, stayed active, and turn it into a career, whereas before they would have been cut and their career would have gone in a different direction.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, you look at a guy like PJ Walker in Chicago, you know, he's one of those types of players that could definitely benefit from this type of situation. There's so many, you know, across the league, and there's a lot of complaining about the quarterback position not being the quality that it should be, but I think there's a lot of options quarterback-wise, and there's a lot of players that you could have as your quarterback, right? And, you know, you used to have that rule where if the third quarterback comes in, the other two can't play again. Now, I mean, let's say you have a guy, like you look at, case in point, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, right? He's a really athletic football player. He is a quarterback. But you could bring him in and have a little package for him and then bring him out. You know what I mean?
So it allows like that. Like the Steelers used to do with Antoine Randall L. from time to time.
Yeah, yeah. Or even, you know, you look at what the Saints do with Taysom Hill. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think that's definitely a good thing, and it opens up more things for these play callers.
That's interesting, too, I guess, from a roster standpoint. If I'm the Saints, I'm like, well, no, Taysom Hill's not our third quarterback. He's a football player. If he happens to go in at quarterback, that doesn't count. That's not our third guy, right? I mean, you might have some discrepancies there, right?
I mean, there's a lot you could do with it.
No question. So, Teron, tell me what you're looking forward to more so than anything. I mean, we know the obvious, right? Everybody's going to be watching the new guys at these OTAs, but it will be fun to see the group out there together.
Yeah, it will be fun to see the group out there together. And for me, I'm looking forward to seeing Harold Landry. I want to see how he's out there moving around. Hopefully, you know, he's able to do everything that fully healthy player is able to do. You know, so that being said, hopefully he's fully healthy. I guess we'll say it that way. I'm almost a year removed from that injury, give or take a couple months. So I'm looking forward to that. Definitely want to see, you know, how I want to see Chris Moore, right? I mean, this is a guy that they signed, and obviously there's a lot to be desired from the receiver position. Want to see the rotations and how they have everything looking. Kyle Phillips back out there. So overall, it's just I'm going to be looking for particular guys who we didn't get to see a lot of last year because of injury.
That's a great point on Landry. I've been curious myself, especially with the timeline. I just hope it's not a race to get back by day one. Like we documented it some last week. The Robert Woods, the Bud Dupree, the Taylor Lewan, just the urgency, and maybe it was a little rushed to get there on day one. I'm hoping because Landry had a little more time that you might see it in increments more and that he's fully, truly ready to go when it's time to play.
Yeah, absolutely. And for a guy like Landry, it's funny, you know, you watch him, how he comes off the edge. It's kind of like that motorcycle racing, right, where they're leaning and it's almost flat. You know, he has that bend that he uses along with the speed. So I want to see, like, when he has to bend like that and put that pressure, that torque on that knee, how is he doing that way? And obviously, you know, it's not going to be 100% speed that they're going to be going with, but still, just to see him get used to that movement, that's something I watch for sure.
TD is with us, Teron Davenport. TD, we kind of talked about this on Friday, but it's been very suspect that we have not seen Kevin Byard. Now, he might be in the building, but we haven't seen him speak to the media. He hasn't posted photos that he is there. OTAs are voluntary, but if Kevin Byard is not there tomorrow, what would that tell you?
Well, I think it's kind of something you would raise your eyebrows at. I don't think it tells you much because one thing that we know about Kevin Byard is he's going to be in shape and ready to go, and he is one of their best conditioned athletes on the team. You look at how much that he's, you know, played over the last X amount of years since he's been in the league. He doesn't miss games. So that's one thing you could rest assured that won't be an issue. But then again, at the same time, is a guy who's a leader on the team, a guy who is clearly a documented part of the face of the franchise, so to speak. It does say a little something. It's like, okay, what has changed? And that's something to definitely consider.
And yeah, TD, Teron Davenport is with us. And this isn't something that we are able to report on, is a whole lot of the interactions between coaches and players or player-to-player interaction. But when it comes to Ryan Tannehill, you know, go back to the comments that were blown completely out of proportion last season. It's not my job to mentor Malik Willis. What are you kind of looking for in Ryan Tannehill and maybe the leadership that he displays tomorrow at OTAs?
More of what he's already shown, you know, and he had that statement that was a little misconstrued, but here it was, he invited Malik Willis and the rookies to his house, you know, and had them there. And then you watch him at OTAs and minicamp, he was right there talking to Malik Willis when necessary. I think that's exactly what you're going to see from Will Levis, you know, that interaction. And it's something that, you know, Tannehill knows, he's not silly. He knows what's at stake. He knows what's in the works, and it probably couldn't have been a better person to have in this position, because he's going to be unwavered from that. He's going to continue to do what he has to do and focus on just getting better every day. I mean, that's exactly what he said. So, and he's not going to have any like contention or anything like that as far as visibly. I'm sure inside there's going to be like, dang, man, like they're doing this to me again, you know. But yeah, overall, it's not going to be a bad situation because of how he is, the caliber of person he is.
He is such a pro's pro. And exactly. TD is with us. I was reading Jim White's most recent mailbag on TennesseeTitans.com. He was asked about the secondary, some of the injured players coming back this season. Jim White said Elijah Molden should be good to go, and Caleb Farley is still on the mend. And that's not encouraging to hear about Caleb Farley, who's a guy who's been, you know, injury prone ever since the second he got to Nashville. What do you think are fair expectations for Caleb Farley this season? And if he can't go, what does the secondary look like?
Yeah, that's a good question, because I remember some of the sources, there was concern that he wasn't going to play again, right? And I'm not talking about again that year, again, period. Mm-hmm. But it got a little better, the you know, diagnosis and everything. But, I mean, I remember talking to Caleb on Locker Room Cleanout, and he was like, man, it was so bad, his calf, like, it wouldn't trigger, it wouldn't fire. So he didn't have that, you know, that twitch that he had before, you know, and that's something. So as far as expectation, it's tough to gauge what the expectation is. I would be surprised if he's out there and fully participating, but I mean, that's one of the things for us to see, you know. So for me, just seeing him out there, I think is going to be good enough. And then as we get into training camp, there's obviously a step that he has to take. But the secondary overall, I think, is going to be pretty interesting, right? You got Christian Fulton in a contract year. I know he's been, you know, getting that work in and doing the things that he needs to do. And McCrary is there at the facility. And he's also working with Kevin Byard and the guys over there with Jeremy Holt. And then you look at Amani Hooker. I know, you know, he's been there too. So, I mean, it's going to look good. And as Jim White mentioned, Elijah Molden will be back.
Yeah.
Those are all positive things. I want to see what Sean Murphy Bunting is a really interesting one, because he's a guy that will probably compete for one of the starting spots on the outside, but he can play the nickel too. So that's going to be another guy in the mix for them.
What's in store for Talking with TD this week?
Yeah, I think I'm still working through some guest options, but we're obviously going to give our takes on and feedback from being there for our first full practice, right? You know, actual practice with the vets and the rookies. So there's going to be a bunch of feedback from that, and Run TMC for sure. So definitely check it out.
Awesome. Thanks, TD. We look forward to your coverage of OTAs tomorrow. We'll chat next week.
All right, for sure. Appreciate you.
Awesome. Thanks, TD. Well, it is official. The NFL has passed the three-quarterback rule. What does that mean for the Tennessee Titans? What does that mean for the league as a whole? Coming up next on Caroline Willie and D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game. Hey, tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tomorrow at 6:35 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on the Iowa Cubs, the AAA affiliate of the Chicago Cubs. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Some breaking news out of the NFL. This is per Ian Rappaport. The NFL bylaw on allowing a third quarterback to be active without burning a roster spot was approved. So the third quarterback rule is back. But we had a couple questions about that. One texter texts into the text line and says, is the third quarterback also the practice squad quarterback? And that's what I don't know. Is your third quarterback on the practice squad and can be picked up by another team, but can be active on game day without burning a 53-man roster spot? He can essentially be your 54th guy?
That's an interesting question, because what you're always subjecting yourself to, yeah, if you have a quarterback on the practice squad, like what happened to Logan Woodside, is somebody snaps him up and he's gone. You know, you're like, well, if we're in trouble, we can activate Logan Woodside. If you got a guy that's hurt, or, you know, we can elevate. But all of a sudden, that guy could be gone to another roster.
And the good thing is you can go pick up someone else on someone else's practice squad.
Right. And so if you're one of those guys, you kind of like the opportunity that could present itself if you're sitting on a practice squad where you could get a call and be in an NFL game the next Sunday for a different team. Yeah. Like the flexibility, like you're not going to get blocked, right? So it's for those guys individually, it might be a little bit of a double-edged sword. So that's a great question that I don't really know. Like I would think it's its own spot, right? It's really the 54th guy to me. But that freezes that guy. It gives great insurance to the teams, like for the Titans to have Malik Willis. Mm-hmm. No, you're not going to lose him to another spot, and you're developing him as the third guy. But it does block Malik Willis if he were on the practice squad from getting a phone call and saying, we've picked you up. We're putting you – you're our second guy this week, or you have a chance to start. We have a rash of injuries, et cetera. So I'm reading the thing, and it's not 100% clear in here. Tom Pelissero says notably, it limits the third quarterback exemption to players on the inactive list, not practice squad players who weren't elevated for the game. So I think what he's saying is it's not practice squad guys.
So your practice, let's say practice squad quarterback gets elevated, that practice squad quarterback cannot be your quote-unquote 54th man. That practice squad quarterback would have to be signed to the 53-man roster.
Yes, I think that's what that means.
You could bump maybe a backup down to your 54th guy because that backup was already on your active roster.
Yeah, so really what it is, it's the 46th guy on game day among your 53, right?
Okay, that's what it sounds like.
So you have to keep three quarterbacks. So I still wonder if teams will try to gamble, keep an extra guy, and not carry three. Like, I wonder, like, to me, if I'm the league, I would make it mandatory. This is just me. So that what happened in the NFC Championship game doesn't happen again.
Right.
That you have to carry three. And we're giving you this rule to do that. But it doesn't sound like they're going that far. So I still wonder if teams will say, well, we'll just keep two.
And also to that point, is your 54, I'm just using 54th, you know, just the extra guy, the quarterback that doesn't count to your 53-man roster. If a team wanted to carry just one quarterback on the active roster and their backup is that quote-unquote 54th, so they can add in another receiver, another inside linebacker on the 53-man roster, can they do that? Or does that extra quarterback that doesn't count towards your 53-man roster, does that have to be your third? Because it could be a competitive advantage that some people say, oh, we'll just throw an extra whatever in the 53-man because we can designate our backup to that 54th spot.
Yeah, and Teron
shouldn't be allowed.
Teron brought up an interesting point, too. What about players like Taysom Hill and other guys who are unique in that if you needed them to play quarterback or if you want them in for some plays at quarterback, how does that work with the roster spot? Can that be your 54th guy, Taysom Hill? Like, sounds like a Bill Belichick kind of loophole that would try to, you know, somebody's going to try to exploit that.
Totally. The way that I would look at it, this is just my opinion, not the actual fact coming from the bylaw proposal, but let's say, you know, Taysom Hill on game day is listed as a tight end. If he takes snaps at quarterback, that's simply just play calling. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be a third quarterback. You could still have three other quarterbacks in addition to a Taysom Hill or whatever extra, you know,
I would think
quarterback
the Saints,
athlete.
Because they have Taysom Hill, wouldn't even want to exercise this. They wouldn't even worry about it, right, if he's the third guy?
I would say probably not. Probably not, because it's Derek
Just keep
Carr.
An extra tight end or keep an extra, you know, whatever.
Right, and I think that's more of a specific and unique example to New Orleans, that they do have a guy like a Taysom Hill who can play every single position. But I think that this works out really well for guys like Malik Willis, because it now eliminates one of the biggest questions that I think we all had this offseason was, well, how are you going to balance this? Are you going to carry three quarterbacks?
Right.
Are you going to put Malik Willis on the practice squad and just hope for the best? Because D-Mace and I were kind of throwing this around. I asked him if the Titans, pre-third quarterback rule, if the Titans place Malik Willis on their practice squad, do you think that he would get snatched up? And honestly, probably, yeah. That there was a team out there that could look at Malik Willis and say, we can work with that. You know, we like what we've seen. We loved him through the draft process. We'll sign him to our 53, and we'll just hope for the best.
Especially if he were to play well in the preseason games or something and look like he'd taken a jump, there might be more risk in having that. I could see it going either way. Some of it just depends on how many quarterbacks get hurt, how many quarterbacks struggle, all of these things. So it's curious. Like, I think about this too. Since COVID, they have made it a much easier process to slide people onto the active list, slide people down to the practice squad. I mean, the Titans they've got it down to a science, right? They've used 80-something, 90 players. What was the record? 91?
90-something players. It was ridiculous.
But part of the reason they do that is for different games, like it really worked well 2 years ago, right? They were finding guys, okay, this week we could use XYZ on the practice squad. We'll slide these three guys up. We'll move the other three guys down that we don't need this week, and you know, we'll fill holes. I wonder how that works, right? It didn't used to be when the last time this rule was in effect with the third quarterback. It wasn't as easy to slide people up and down from the practice squad to the active roster. I wonder how that's going to factor into this.
And
you could in theory, right? You could have the guy on your practice squad, Malik Willis, your third quarterback,
yes.
And nobody picks him up. And then you slide him onto your 53.
And then you designate him
as the 46th, yeah, the extra
you could do
third
that.
Quarterback. Yeah. I wonder if that's the way that teams are going to try this.
Maybe
so there's still some risk of losing a guy, and there's still that opportunity for the third quarterback to get picked up to a better situation.
And the rules in the new bylaws may highlight exactly what you can and can't do, but I do think that there are going to be coaches and general managers that ride the line of what the rule is to give them as much of a competitive advantage as possible. And
big
more
time.
Power to you.
Yeah.
Do it. If you're able to ride that line and you think it helps your football team, then do it. I just think that this is a really smart move by the NFL. It's past due. I never really understood why the rule went away in the first place. It just makes it a better product. This sport, this league is driven by quarterbacks.
Yes.
It is a quarterback league.
And you saw what happened with the sad story of Christian McCaffrey trying to put the right helmet on that had the earpiece in there as you could hear the play. It was just sad.
And we were robbed of what was supposed to be a great NFC Championship game. So I think that overall it is a good thing. Overall, it will make the product better. I don't think that this is going to completely, like I said earlier with TD, I think that San Francisco situation is more the exception and not the rule. I don't think that this is going to change the inner workings and the everyday ins and outs of the NFL just because it happens so infrequently that a team does go through its first and second quarterback, but you never know, and you don't want to leave it up to chance. And I would much rather watch a third quarterback who's down on the depth chart than I would like to watch Christian McCaffrey try and take snaps. All respect in the world to poor Christian McCaffrey, who was put in at quarterback.
No question.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. TD had a great breakdown of the first few days of what he saw at practice, and more so what he heard, the message at those practices. Is that something that's new? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, DeMace, 1025, 1063, The Game. Caroline, Willie, DeMace, 1025, 1063, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. So we saw the rookies at rookie minicamp this past week. We saw some of the vets out there as well. And we all saw the video on social media, on Twitter, doing the sled races on Monday. And we heard from some of the new veterans. So Sean Murphy Bunting and Azeez Al-Shaair and Daniel Brunskill about how things were so different with the Titans than they were at some of their former stops. And TD put out a great article on ESPN about the approach that Mike Vrabel is starting this season with. And basically the overall sentiment from Azeez Al-Shaair, from Daniel Brunskill, from Sean Murphy Bunting, is that the way that this team practices, the intensity that Mike Vrabel has brought to the early few days of practice has been so much different and so much more dialed up than any other training camp or practice or coach that they've experienced in the past. And this was a sentiment reiterated by all three of them, independent of one another. And it's not something that I ever remember hearing from, you know, veterans of the past, of guys that are coming into Tennessee after years of their careers and, you know, coming to Tennessee for the first time. It's never something that I've heard or picked up on or noticed that, wow, things are a whole lot more intense here. Is that something that's new this season? Is that something that's, TD and I were kind of throwing this around on Friday, is it something that it's just the personalities of some of the newcomers this season, where Austin Hooper last year was maybe a little bit more, you know, understated, wasn't going to give you a whole lot of information. Maybe Azeez Alshayer and Daniel Brunskill and Sean Murphy Bunting are a whole lot more, you know, vocal and willing to share that information. But it does sound to me like things this season are just a little bit more leveled up than they have been in the past.
I think every team is, you know, even if you have a lot of players back, it can take on a new personality. It can take on a new vibe a little bit. Every team is a little bit different. So I think some of that's going to happen naturally. So maybe what you're saying is true for sure. I remember one thing we talked about a lot last year is how many veterans didn't go. Like, so I'm curious how many more will be there this year as opposed to last year. Feel the need to be there this year if they weren't there last year, or if you have circumstances like Byard. Derrick Henry didn't go to some of them last year. Is he going to be there? Like,
I doubt he's there. But that's not one that I'm worried about, at least.
Yeah, but he took, remember, there was a lot of, he should be there. There's a lot of people that were saying that.
And then the Ryan Tannehill Celsius ad came out after he was no-show at OTAs.
Right.
But I think the way that I look at it, and of course it's a different case-to-case basis, if Derrick Henry isn't there, I'm okay with it. I know he's a leader on the team, and leaders should be there, but Derrick Henry does that every season. I believe he goes to
Houston
to train. He comes back, and he's always in great shape. He's always good to go. He's consistent with it. Ryan Tannehill, I expect him to be there. He's the starting quarterback. He's now leading a group of now three quarterbacks, young guys and experienced guys. I expect Ryan Tannehill to be a team leader, be the quarterback, to be there.
Okay. And then there was other guys, you know, where you're kind of thinking, well, he should be there. You know, not necessarily the leader. You don't have enough skins on the wall, whatever, you know, you want to say, to
right.
be able to slide out and not have it be noticed
right.
by everybody else. So I am curious to see how it feels now that they're coming off a year where they didn't have a lot of success, right? It collapsed. It cratered. Like, I want to see a team that's hungry to bounce back, even though, as we just said, expectations around the league are going to be low for this team, lower than they've been in a long time. And I thought they were underrated even while they were winning. But even so, there's almost no expectation for this to be a contender this year. So how does that affect what they look like every day, and, you know, when they go to OTAs and the competition for jobs, things like that?
It's a fair point. Let's get some of your thoughts on it. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Greg is on the line with a thought on the Titans quarterbacks. What's up, Greg?
Greg.
Having a tough
Wake
time
up.
Hearing you, Greg. You know the number. Call us back.
Was that him, or was that something he was listening to? Like, was he listening
to
a lecture? Was he in summer school getting a lecture from the math teacher or something?
That may have been us that he was listening to in the
Maybe
background.
He was listening to us.
How many times that probably happens?
The classic, the classic mistake. You're hearing the on delay.
Right.
You're like, 1,001, 1,002. You know they're going to start talking.
Call us back, Greg. You know the number.
Try it again, Greg. Rookie mistake.
And I think part of it, this approach going into the season, because you're totally right, it could just be, well, I don't really remember them doing sleds on a Monday this time last year. Is that new? Or is that something that they've always done that we've just never picked up on? Is it something that some of these veterans that are coming into Tennessee, that's just new to them? But I do think that looking at the issues that this team had, what I think we could all agree, the number one thing that knocked this train off the tracks was the injuries. And I think that Mike Vrabel is now doing everything possible in his power to avoid that.
That's a great overarching question, is do they have a different approach on some things, just different theories of how to try to keep the injury thing in check? Whatever you can control. As we know about injuries, there's some things that you just cannot control.
Right.
But did they learn from some studies? Are they listening to other people, different theories on what is better to minimize injuries? That's a fair question.
And it's the callus, not blister approach.
Because they have been absolutely brutalized by this stuff. Decimated.
It is, in the last 2 years, I mean, how unlucky do you have to be that 2 years in a row you are the most injured team in the league? Like, how does that happen?
It would make you willing to try new things,
and
right?
I think that's what Mike Vrabel is doing. Yeah. Maybe it works. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe this is a horrendous idea. Maybe the turf works. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it's ACL tear city central, knock on all the wood. But they're doing something about
it. Well, and there's no more Haas now, too.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
That's sad, too.
That is sad.
But it has you, like, there are some things that you wonder how much of it is science, how much of it is theory, and how much of it is just, we got to do something different because it just hasn't been working. Like, a baseball player that's in a slump, I mean, you're just going to try to change something. You're going to change your batting gloves. Mm-hmm. You're going to change your undershirt. You're going to change your underwear. Like, it's not rational.
Breakfast.
It's not really rational, right? Yeah, you change breakfast. You'll try anything.
Right.
You change your stance. You do all kinds of stuff. And some of it is scientific. Some of it's studying video. But other of it is just you're shaking it up. It's superstitious. So I wonder how much it's all together. It's not black or white, right? But there's a lot of different levels to this. So I am curious how they're attacking that part of it. Like, they need a little luck. They need some good fortune with injuries for things to go well this year.
100%. And there are a lot of things that are just out of your control. Harold Landry tearing his ACL at the end of training camp, that is just unlucky. You can't control that. But if you have a third year in a row where your team is one of the most or the most injured team in the league, you're going to start looking around and saying, well, I mean, we fell short of expectations 3 years in a row because we couldn't stay healthy. What the heck is going on? So at least you're trying something different. We've heard Mike Vrabel say, we want a callus, not a blister. Daniel Brunskill said last week at practice, the callus approach. And that's something that all three of those guys, Azeez Al-Shaair, Daniel Brunskill, and Sean Murphy Bunting touched on, was how intense practice was, conditioning. There's one quote in here from Daniel Brunskill in TD's article. Says everything is speed off the ball. How fast can we get into the defense with no false steps? Conditioning helps with that. It helps us work our tempo. That's another thing. This offense is going to be a whole lot more up-tempo this season. Big men in front need to be able to keep up with that. Starting that in May, the conditioning, the sled work on a Monday, the intense practices, long hours in the weight room. You do that in May, build up that callus in May. If you get a little banged up at the beginning of June, you've got time to work through that. So you come back even faster, even quicker, even stronger. Is it the right approach? I don't know, but it's a different approach, and that's all that we can ask. Let's get some more of your phones and your thoughts on this. I believe this is Greg. Maybe not. What's going on, Greg, if this is Greg?
Oh, it's Chad.
Chad.
Hey.
Hey, Chad.
Caught me there. Hey.
Do you know
I
Greg?
I got a question.
Did you take the phone from Greg's hand?
I was. That was me and Greg were listening to that lecture together, and I couldn't quite figure out which direction he was going there. But I want to switch towards playmakers. You know, you look at, and quarterback included, you look at all the successful teams going back to whether it's Super Bowls or deep into the playoffs, and they all have a list of great playmakers, right? Of course, starting at the quarterback position, the most important position in the history of the game is quarterback when you talk about the NFL. Mm-hmm. But what, in best case scenario, what list of playmakers can we say, hey, best case scenario, we've got some playmakers that may be not on the list, but what names could pop out? Where would you see, I guess, where do y'all see the potential of playmakers in order, and how deep could that list, even on an optimistic train, go?
Yeah, thanks for your call, Chad. I think at the top of that list, it has to be Derrick Henry. I mean, Derrick Henry is going to have to be your biggest playmaker. That's how this offense runs.
Like we've talked about a lot, this is what it's hard for analytics people to mm-hmm. quantify, is what effect does it have, him just simply being out there,
yeah,
and what a defense does mentally and then tactically. Does he make other players? I think the answer is he's made other players better.
Just
being
presence
on the field. Yeah. So we'll see if he's still got that. Or, you know, a year later, do teams get to the point where like, okay, he's not quite what he was. He's still good, but we're not going to change our defense as much. We're not going to cheat as much to stop him, put the extra guy in the box, all of that stuff. We know a couple years ago, Arthur Smith was dicing up teams because they were cheating up every the extra guy in the box, and they had the play action. They had a rhythm to their offense that was just really tough to stop. It just was so fun to watch because they just got in such a great flow with it. And it wasn't there the last really 2 years when you get down to it.
And just the threat of Derrick Henry, just if a defense decides to ignore Derrick Henry, he'll make you pay for it. And I think with the other playmakers, I think a lot of it is hope.
Yeah. Derrick and I talked about it on Friday.
Yeah.
They need a breakout, right? What changes the view of a team? A guy that's not expected to do great. We see it in hockey every year. There's a guy that had 10 goals the year before, and all of a sudden he's got 25 goals. Where'd this guy come from? Like Tanner Janot a couple years ago. It's a game changer. So if Kyle Phillips or Chigakonkwo or obviously Burks or somebody like that just makes a big jump, how huge would that be? That, I mean, they need that.
And that's the, you know, quote-unquote X factor is, I think, Treylon Burks.
Even Akine, you know, the guys have done that. You have a career year.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, they make an adjustment. They had a great offseason. They're healthy. And the production is way better. Could come from anybody.
And it's the hope that Treylon Burks takes that next step. It's the hope that Chigakonkwo continues to take that next step. It's the hope that Kyle Phillips comes back healthy, is able to stay healthy, and can be a contributing factor to this offense. Hope is not a strategy, but I think that's what we've got with this pass-catching core.
Yep, this is what you got.
You just take the next step forward. This is what you got. Be the first person to answer Willie's trivia question correctly, and you will win a pair of tickets to see Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds and Garbage at First Bank Amphitheater on June 25th. 615-737-1025 is our phone number.
All right. I feel like, you know, with Noel Gallagher and Garbage playing, we're going to go 90s. That's a 90s thing. So we're having a little 90s trivia, and we are going to throw this out there. And let's see if Nick has any clue. Caroline, because I don't know, 90s, I don't know if this is your strong suit, but
I love myself some Wonderwall.
Yeah, okay, music-wise, you're there, okay? But yeah. Now I got to do the sports trivia here. So you got to get this. You can't text 615-737-1025. You have to call to get the tickets. I think some people are going to be out there that are jumping all over this. We're simply going to say this. 1995, I think that's a reasonable year. Oasis, Noel Gallagher, Garbage, right in there. That's so we'll go 1995. The, of course, baseball strike of 94, they wiped out the World Series that year. But in 95, baseball came back, even though there was a lot of court things. It was a short season, but they played. It wasn't the most memorable season because the fans were really ticked off, as they should have been. But who won the World Series in 1995, the first year after the strike? 615-737-1025 if you want to go to the show at the amphitheater. Garbage and, of course, Noel Gallagher.
Good luck with that. Our expectations and what we want to see at OTAs tomorrow. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Willie DeMays, 1025, 1063 The Game.
You know what? The building blocks of things you try to establish with the group when they come in here for the first weekend.
I think that's the biggest thing is that they understand, you know, how we want to do things. And how we, you know, want to function, you know, from a conditioning level. I think that's the biggest thing. Also, you know, being willing to make mistakes and study, but the ability for them to communicate with their coaches, their teammates. And this is a long process. You know, we believe in making connections, you know, allow us to coach these guys and figure out what's best. And so I think we're off to a good start. You know, we want them to be respectful of the people in the building. We want them to be accountable to where they're supposed to be. We want them to be accountable to their teammates, that they know what to do, or at least are putting the effort in to know what to do. Those are things I think are important.
That was Mike Vrabel after rookie minicamp, breaking down some of the expectations of the first couple of weeks for the rookies. And the temperature is about to get dialed up just a little bit more. The intensity is going to start to ramp up at OTAs as the Titans take the field for their first full practice with both the rookies and the veterans. What's one thing you're looking for tomorrow at OTAs, Willie?
Who will be the first Titan to pull the hamstring?
Oh.
Who will be that guy?
Is it mean to place bets on this?
Can you actually get bets in the sponsors that we have here? Superbook.
We can start our own little betting ring.
I'm kidding, but it will happen, right? Somebody will happen, and everybody's going, here we go again with the hamstrings. Like, yeah. There's the other thing that I'm wondering is, do we end up on a storyline thing like the Burks thing last year with the breathing problems? You know, he can't finish practice. I just hope that you don't have a lot of that. Like, they could use a drama-free offseason when you get down to it, which wouldn't be that exciting for us, really, because we
love the drama.
We jumped all over the drama last year with all that stuff, right, with the Tannehill and the comments and, you know, the Celsius and the picture of him on the boat and all that stuff. That it took up a lot of time of ours. It really didn't matter once the season started. So I don't know. Like, I've always tried to resist getting too much into all the ins and outs of that. But I do hope that they stumble upon some things, whatever they may be. Like, I was just thinking during the break, you know, how often do you see an ad for this energy bracelet or, you know, something, a magnet? Like, when I was playing, I was crazy enough. Like, my dad was into it. You know, if you wore magnets on your lower back, that would help blood flow or something like that. Like, you'll believe anything if you think it helps, right?
Yeah, it doesn't matter if it's
and there's like sports psychologists who are like, look, I'm not sure if this stuff actually works, but if you believe that it's helping you,
that's half the battle.
Yeah, it's like Crash Davis. Don't mess with a winning streak. You know, Bull Durham, that gets pretty crazy things going on with Nuke Alush with to keep the winning streak going, right? As we know, but I just hope that it falls into place for the team. And they get a little bit better fortune. I think we're all kind of wondering, what if they had a little more luck with injuries? What difference would that have made over the last couple of years?
And let's say there is a player that pulls a hamstring in the offseason. That happens. Players tear their hamstrings.
And it depends on who it is, how much of tension it's going to get.
But it does kind of just fill into it, plays into this idea of, oh, well, here we go again with the soft tissue injuries. This happens all the time with the Titans. Just like if, you know, a player blows out his knee. Unfortunately, that happens. It's a dangerous game. But if Tajay Spears blows out his knee, it's like, oh, well, there we go.
Boy.
We knew it.
So that guy, I think I'm rooting for that reason. I'm rooting for him more than most.
Yeah,
because I want him to be able to at least have a fair chance to not have that be the thing every single day at practice. But, you know, for a while, it's going to be, right?
It's the only thing we know about him at this point is, you know, he balled out against USC and he doesn't have an ACL. So as the story...
He didn't verify that, but that's what everybody says.
He says he's healthy. Take his word for it. I think one thing that I'm looking for is who's there, who isn't there. One player in particular being Kevin Byard. Because Kevin Byard is one of those guys, as we all know, he is there. When there is a practice to be there for, that he is there. Voluntary, mandatory, Kevin Byard's there. Kevin Byard's going to talk to the media. Always around this time of year, he's at the facility, he's getting involved. That's not something that we've at least seen this offseason. If Kevin Byard is there, that doesn't tell me that all is under the bridge and all is well, but it's at least good enough that he's like, okay, yep, well, I'll be there and I'll show up and I'll, you know, be a leader.
Do you think he's going to be there?
I don't think he's going to be there.
I don't either.
And that's a bit of a red flag to me. Doesn't mean that it's disastrous. Doesn't mean that Kevin Byard won't be Titan this
business.
Season.
I think it's just business.
It's a red flag. And that tells me where they're at in their negotiations. If it's not going to be a publicized thing, that tells me they've still got negotiations that they're going through.
And I think we all, even going back a couple months, could foresee that, especially when March Madness was happening and this became a story for the first time, like, they're going to have to address that contract. I still think that if it's not Byard, where, you know, you're robbing Peter to pay, somewhere in there you got to make, if Byard's going to play at the existing contract, somebody's got to tweak something just to give yourself a little more flexibility. I think. I still wonder about that.
I do wonder what is going on with that, and is it both sides are at a standstill? The Titans are saying, you have to take a pay cut. He's saying, I'm not taking a pay cut, and that's just where it is. But I think we may get a little bit more of a peek behind the curtain of where Kevin Byard is at, if he is or is not there tomorrow. And I think I'm excited to see, and this is not something that we can report on, I'm excited to see the quarterbacks and where how the snaps are divided up, how those three interact with one another, how Will Levis interacts with the other rookies, how he kind of rallies the rookies around them, how Ryan Tannehill interacts with two of the younger guys. Again, we cannot report on that at practice, but I think that is going to be interesting moving forward, just how those three quarterbacks are being handled in OTAs. That's going to do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. on OTA Day. Stillman & Company is up next.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.